I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome back to another episode of More Than Strong. I'm Laura.
I'm Liz.
And today we're joined on the sofa by the lovely Gisella. And today we're talking all about her diagnosis with secondary breast cancer, about how she went to the GP and got diagnosed 6 months after she initially went for an appointment, and all about her journey through the last year of treatment. So welcome. So as we've been doing, we are going to start with our little quiz round just to get to know you a little bit better. So this is a quick fire. Right. Bus or drive?
Drive.
Autumn or spring?
Spring.
Lunch or dinner?
Lunch.
Nail varnish or natural nails?
Natural nails.
Ooh, see, that's me with the nail varnish. Sweets or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Dresses or trousers?
Dresses.
I love dresses. Movie at home or in cinema?
Home.
Okay. Pasta or pizza?
Pasta.
Pasta.
Oh, no. No. I'm not a pasta girl. Morning shower or an evening bath?
Evening bath.
Beer or wine?
None.
Well, there we go. We've gotten to know you a little bit better. Thank you so much for coming today and joining us on the sofa. We are going to be talking today about your journey with breast cancer and secondary. So let's go right back to the start before you were diagnosed. What were you doing in life and what made you come across a symptom that led you to get your diagnosis?
So before I was diagnosed, I was working. I had a really busy life. I was working for Norfolk County Council. Mm-hmm. I work with children with learning disabilities and complex needs. In a respite unit, like short break. I was working nights. Life was very busy. And beginning of 2022, I've started experiencing some pain in my abdominal and shoulder. But I blamed my work because I have lots of restraint involved and just physical.
So you just thought it was
injury? It was very physical. I thought that it was injury. And then I've started having some pains in my right breast. And the pain was so bad to the point that I went to the GP. GP said that she's not concerned and she gave me antibiotic. And she said, can I come back after 7 days, which I did, because within that 7 days my breast got 3 times bigger.
Wow.
And I've started having some discharge from my nipple. So I went back, and then again I felt the same thing.
Did you know at this point that those are symptoms of breast cancer?
To be honest, no.
Okay.
Not really, no. Just because I was thinking maybe due to my work and lots of physical interventions and restraints and just really physical work. That was maybe that.
And it wasn't on your radar?
Not really.
And no. When how long ago was this?
That was in 2022.
This year.
And can we just ask how old you were? Or how old you want to
I am 38 now, so I was
36.
I'm not very good at math, sorry.
Not my strong point. What year are we in? I don't know.
So
still very, very young.
Still very young.
Yeah.
So I went back to the GP. She was still not concerned, and she said that maybe we'll try some different antibiotics.
So you had pain, you had nipple discharge.
Yeah, my breast was literally like that.
And they didn't take you to...
No.
Were they saying it was an infection at the time?
She said it's infection, probably, and because I'm too young for having breast cancer, and probably because I have very unhealthy lifestyle, which is working nights, not sleeping enough, and just because of the work I do, that might be that.
And if you don't know the symptoms yourself, you probably weren't going, well, hang on a minute, I'm getting this.
And I was so busy that I didn't, research it enough, and I didn't Google, because I trusted my GP. And I would say within 6 months I was in and out at the GP.
Seriously?
I was given a lot of 11 different antibiotics.
11
different
antibiotics. And nothing was working, and they
didn't say nothing was working. That was 6 months.
And was the discharge ongoing?
Yeah.
What was the discharge like?
It was yellowish. Yellow.
And had no temperature?
I had no temperature, but I had also the abdominal pain to the point that I was so bloated.
But if
that...
you don't have temperature, that's not necessarily infection.
I'm going to have to cut my reaction out here, because I'm like, awesome.
Yeah, and I've started doing Instagram quite a lot, because I was really interested in cooking and stuff like that. And I found some lady, Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing some campaign to check your boobs. And then there was something about the boobs, and then I looked at the ad and I found absolutely every single symptom which I had at that time. So the next morning, I remember that was Monday, I've decided to go to the GP. And again, I've heard that is just, infection, and that will go.
Seeing someone else your age?
Yeah.
Because Nikki was also infected.
So it was thanks. So even though you'd been to the doctors, it was through
Instagram.
Yeah. And people spreading the story. Awareness and their own story that actually
shows the power.
Saved you
and
with that.
Just
I can't
to
believe
say
that.
Also that at that time, before I was even diagnosed, I messaged Nikki, and she messaged me back that I really need to go to the GP and get it checked. And I did. I went on Monday, and I still heard that no
way
history. And I literally demanded, I insisted
that.
You shouldn't have had to.
Yeah, I have to
fight
for the mammogram. So that was Monday, and by Thursday I got a call that from the breast clinic that can I come in on Friday to get it checked. So I went on Friday to the breast clinic, and I was given another antibiotic.
You're joking.
No, I was given another antibiotic for 14 days. Even though my breasts at that point was already hard like a stone.
But did they scan you as well?
No. They gave me antibiotic.
No ultrasound?
No. Antibiotic for 14
Because you can
days.
Get infections on top of cancer, and sometimes a cancer can... So I'm just thinking and defending the medical universe here.
11 lots of
that's
not good either for your body. Because
Wow.
No, I was very unwell and very weak at that time. So on Friday I went to the breast clinic, I was given another antibiotic for 14 days, and then I've been asked to come back after those 14 days, which I did. And then when I came back, they decided to do mammogram and scan of my breast. So I had that done within half an hour, and then I was waiting in the waiting area, and they called me to the room. I was with my friend at that time. And I remember waiting inside, and then five different people walked in, and I knew.
Did you think it was something before? Were you aware at that point that it could be cancer?
I think when I got the message from Nikki, I kind of...
In your head, you started thinking, well, this could be it.
Yeah, I started thinking and worry a bit, but still I was not trying not to overthink.
Because you believe your GP.
Of course, doctor. I trusted her, like, really, really trusted
really,
her.
Like, the amount of times we've heard that doing these podcasts of people trusting their GP and not...
Did you ever go back to
that GP and tell her?
Yes, I made, like, my massive complaint and I changed my surgery. When I find out that I went straight away to stage 4. That was in my liver, my lungs, and it was all...
So not only were you having the breast pain, but, I mean... I'm not saying it would have
probably from my liver and shoulder,
and the fact
which
you maybe had that before was possibly it would have always been a stage 4. However, you know, you might have been on treatment 3 months prior. Like, how long? How what is the timescale of you first going to the GP to suddenly getting
6 months? Okay.
6 months, and that can make a massive difference onto where it maybe has spread or how aggressively that it spread. And did they find that because they then scanned your full body?
They scanned my full. So when I went back after those 2 weeks to the breast clinic, I had the mammogram scan and biopsy, and that was Friday, and on Monday I had PET scan, and then 4 days later they called me and they said that can I come in and have someone with me, and
I was like, that's bad news.
And I knew, like, it's something bad, because why are they asking me to come in with someone? So I went, and they said that they haven't got a good news, that it's already in my liver, my lungs, and all on my right side. And it's not looking good, and it's stage 4 inflammatory breast cancer.
I would have kicked off big time.
And to be honest, they just left me with the nurse. The doctor literally said, I felt
did they
like
explain...
I'm another, like a product
yeah.
in the shop. I'm, you know, at the tail end, she just scanned me. I paid and she just left. No, only I felt like that. I felt like a product. And she left me with the nurse, and nurse gave me a lot of leaflets, and that was it. And she said, I will get a letter within 12 weeks that from the oncologist. And that was it. That was it.
Did
and
you, I'm what? So sorry on behalf of, like, just
the medical
side of things. Like, that's not normal. That's not how it should be done. Like, at all. That's not any... Your whole journey, that none of that is should be normal, should be typical. So I'm really sorry that was your experience multiple times, being let down by people.
I think
people.
I was not maybe fighting enough for myself.
But then if you don't know, again, being in your 30s, you know, you don't know necessarily the signs and symptoms. You don't know what you're looking for. You went to the doctors, you did the right thing, and that is the main thing.
But
and you went back repeatedly.
Yeah.
You didn't...
6 months of... Like,
did they tell you at that point
about stage 4? Did you get explained about what it was or what?
No, they told me that the inflammatory breast cancer is very aggressive, very rare. And I remember when the doctor from the breast clinic, she said that if I'll get 6 months, I'll be really lucky. And I believed her. And I remember I was with my friend at that time, and I called my partner, and I sat at the front of the hospital, and I cried and I didn't know what to do at that time, and I was in a shock because I was still kind of believing that it's not real, that it's not real. And then I was thinking, I was like, trusted my GP, and I went there so many times, and I've been dismissed and ignored and fobbed for all of those 6 months, and that was very shocking. That was for me.
Yeah, and I think you know, maybe expect to get a diagnosis, but not one that then they turn around and say it's now incurable, we can't do much about it.
I haven't heard incurable when they told me about my diagnosis. They told me terminal.
They did, okay.
They used word terminal.
Is that because it had spread so much that they thought that you wouldn't react to this?
Yeah, they said terminal. And
So did they offer any treatment?
They said that my oncologist will decide about the future plan.
And so how long then was it between that to seeing your oncologist?
2 months.
Two months. Even though you were terminal?
Yeah.
They left you for 2 months?
Yeah, they left me for two months.
Not knowing.
Not knowing, like, unknown and without any support and help, and just lonely. I felt very, very lonely and really isolate. I was still working at that time.
I don't know how you did that. Yeah. When, so in timescales, when was the actual diagnosis? What month was that?
So I was diagnosed in November.
of last
2022. And I've started treatment in January of 2023.
So you've been on treatment a year?
Yeah.
What treatment?
So I was on docetaxel 6 cycles and Phesgo. I finished chemotherapy after six cycles and I'm on Phesgo now every 21 days.
And what's the plan with it? Is it, what are they targeting?
That's my lifelong treatment. That is, I'm staying on Phesgo until...
It's not working.
Yeah.
And how, so let's know about response. Have you had any response from it? Is it...
So how halfway through I had a scan and I had amazing results.
Oh my goodness.
I had amazing results and my tumours were shrinking.
I know you're so nervous about that one, weren't you? Because we know each other from the community.
From the beginning when I was diagnosed. Yeah. From the beginning.
Yeah, you came and found our group, didn't you?
So funny that I put a post on one of the Facebook groups that I belonged for 9 years. And I put a post because I felt very lonely and isolated, I would say. And everyone knew at work, but they kind of didn't know how to talk or mm-hmm. what to say and how to react. So I put a post and I didn't get any replies or response apart from one lady, that was Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And then she messaged me and she said she's also from Norfolk and she can introduce me to our group. And that everything changed and...
You found your community.
I found my community, I found my people, I found support. And I would not even say that they are my friends, they are like family, I would say.
Where are you?
I have not felt so lonely anymore because I felt like I remember when I joined and the support I was given from you guys, that was just incredible. And I haven't been so lonely and worried and anxious because I've got the answer. If I was worried about something, then I put straight away the message.
Oh my goodness, the WhatsApp group is crazy, isn't it? You get one message and like 10 minutes later, it's about 100 replies.
So that was amazing. I made a big complaint to the surgery. And I also reported them, especially that GP. I got a phone call from her. She sobbed over the phone. She was very apologetic and that was it. She just said that I'm so sorry that I couldn't help or I couldn't do enough. She said it was not up to her, which I don't really believe.
But hopefully that, I know it's...
reflection, and do you know what? She will have had to reflect upon that and that will change
the course of her.
Anyone going to see her or that practice thereafter. I know it didn't help you, but now they will have a lower threshold for referring.
It will be, you know, yeah, young women are not exempt. People who are showing symptoms need to be checked.
And interestingly, I mean, the discharge is something which is a clear symptom of breast cancer, but there is this misconception in medicine that pain is not a symptom of breast cancer. And often, often if someone's got a lump and it's painful, they get dismissed because it's not typically associated with cancer.
I didn't have any lumps. Like, I didn't have any lumps in my breast.
Wow.
Inflammatory breast cancer is not giving you any lumps. Your breast is just...
That's what
purple. That it's growing. Yes. It's just swollen and hard like a stone. So I didn't have any lumps.
So have you had any surgery or did you keep your...
No, I was told by my oncologist that because I went straight to stage 4, there is no point to do the surgery. And also because I responded so well for the treatment, they didn't want to disturb the cancer.
So the cancer shrunk?
The cancer shrunk and I finished chemotherapy and I had another PET scan and I was... declared need, which is
evidence
of active disease.
That, I mean,
there
I've
no active cancer. My pick.
I mean, I've never had that, so I'm actually. So you've gone from being told you were terminal for 6 months
to nothing.
Even in the breast, it's
not active. It's so, there, but it's not active.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah,
that I mean, amazing. There's a success story, and there's like something. Mm. I mean, there's so many things there. I mean, the fact that you had no lumps, again, there'll be people listening or watching who didn't realize that without a lump, you can still have breast cancer. Yeah. You know, the leaky nipples, discharge from nipples,
indents,
those kind of things.
Like swelling.
But the fact that you were told a year ago that you had 6 months to live, and now you're here with no active disease.
With hopefully many more years ahead of you.
And I just had a scan, and I'm still stable, and there is still no active disease.
That's very amazing.
Very grateful.
And it's sort of, as much as those mistakes have happened to get you to this point, at least when it was caught, something has, like, they have been able to do treatment, and it's working at the moment. And hopefully, you know, there's more things in the future to move on to if and when this one doesn't. But I think it's so important, as you were saying, about finding the people you can talk to, because you get that advice, you get that support. And, you know, that is the reason that Secondary Sisters was set up. That's why the Norfolk group was set up. You know, selfishly, I was similar to you. I was young. I had no community. My friends and family couldn't really understand what I was going through. And so I needed to find people that I could relate to. And I'm really, really pleased that response is, you know, is spreading, and you guys are managing to find that support from the people really in the know.
And it's just wonderful that Nikki's post, you know, has potentially saved your life. It's led you to speaking up and having the confidence to go back and be like, no, I'm not happy, which got you on that path, because who knows, if it'd been another month or two of you being fobbed off with antibiotics, what the outcome would have been.
How has cancer impacted your life day to day?
I think what's the hardest was for me.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
No, maybe from the beginning. In my head, you know, I watched so many movies, and they are showing like people in with cancer losing weight, being bald. And I remember when I was told that I have cancer and I will start chemotherapy. I remember that. I know that is a bit silly, but I remember when I said to my partner, "Finally, I'm gonna be very, very skinny." I know that is very silly.
No,
yeah,
I was during
the chemotherapy and the whole treatment, steroids, I've gained a lot of weight, like completely opposite.
I think breast cancer does tend to, because it's often you're pumped full of like steroids and then the hormones stuff.
The steroids. I've gained so much weight that I couldn't believe how I look. And even now I'm really struggling to lose that weight and to love myself, to be kind for myself, because I can't accept the changes. Although I know, and I am also very grateful that that body allows me to go through the whole harsh treatment, and I'm still here.
Because it's harsh treatment. I think that's what we have to reflect on, actually. The chemo is,
But you're still allowed to hate the fact that, you know, your body is different to what it was before, and that you've lost control of that in a sense. Mm. You know, for all, yes, I see what you're saying. It's, you're just grateful to be here, but it's okay to take a moment and be like pissed off that that is a consequence.
You lose
you a bit, don't you?
I've lost myself, and I think I'm still grieving my old me, mm-hmm. because it's not me. It's not me anymore, but I'm slowly learning to love myself and the way how I look. I'm still fighting like really, really hard. I'm doing boxing every week and mm-hmm. walking my dog, and I came back to work like full-time job, so I'm trying to be active, but yeah, it's not easy to
it's I think we do grieve. We do grieve for the person that we've lost, as much as we are still here and, as you say, grateful for every single day you do get. We have to realize that you are never going to be that person pre-cancer, and it's finding a new normal. And whether that's a new normal for you know, the fact you've had surgery, or whether you've gone through treatment that you look different, losing your hair, and but it's also mentally, you're never going to be sort of carefree anymore. You've always got this hanging over you. You're living 3 months to 3 months on these sort of scan cycles, and all of that can become hugely testing, and we have
and overwhelming,
very overwhelming. Yeah, and it's a massive thing. And I think a lot of people just think that, you know, using the words, the chemotherapy, for example, people will sort of support you, help you, because chemotherapy is known to be something that makes you really poorly. But the minute you stop that and you're on a sort of another drug, but, oh, you're doing fine. Oh, you're stable. Oh, this, you know, you're okay. And they almost forget that actually underneath you are still struggling with so many other problems because of having the chemo, or like you say, the weight gain, or just mentally the challenge of living day to day. And we, you know, it's a lot. It is a lot to have to deal with in such a short space of time in your 30s, which is not, you know, it's not easy. And you have a family as well. You've got children.
I have three kids, three girls.
So trying to...
How old are they?
19, 10 and 9.
So trying to be mum as well. And are you? Do you find sort of the juggle quite difficult? Do they know what's going on? Are they...
So because I was given such a prognosis at the beginning, I was very honest with them from the beginning. I was given some booklets for kids, like... My mommy is poorly, my mommy have cancer, from the nurse when I was diagnosed. But I have never ever actually opened them. I remember having that conversation with my kids, not being prepared and telling them that I have a cancer and that it's not looking good. My youngest one, she's 9 now, but she couldn't really understand what was going on. My oldest one was kind of in a shock, and she was thinking that there is something. She had a feeling that there was something not right. But then she was very upset, very, very, very upset and scared and worried. Although later she was with me while I had my chemo, she was most of the time with me and she sat next to me.
So she's really experienced what you've got.
Yeah, she really experienced. My middle one, she was 9 at that time. So they didn't really knew what to expect and what to think, because they didn't knew what happened. I remember when I was told that I have 6 months, I, in my head, was, that's it. I was planning my funeral. And that's why I was a bit anxious today about the photo shoot, because I remember we had like family photo shoot in preparation for the pictures for my funeral.
Wow, so it's bringing back
a huge trigger.
Yeah. And it was very, very difficult, because I remember I've lost my hair already after the first cycle of chemotherapy. And we were meant to smile on those pictures with my kid, but inside I was just
breaking.
I was dying. I was dying. I was literally dying in that time. So yeah, planning your own funeral and involving your children wasn't really easy. Choosing the songs and the outfits, and that was extremely, extremely difficult at that time.
And how have they responded now that you've gone through that preparation, but now that imminent fear of it being so close has been pushed back and things have changed. That's a lot to kind of get your head around for an adult or anyone, but you know, particularly for children and you as a mother, then explaining to them,
I'm still here, and yeah.
Funeral's not happened.
Before I started the treatment, I said to myself that even though if I'm going to be really poorly unwell, I will not show that to my children. I will push myself really, really hard, physically and mentally, just to show them that I'll be all right. And I was all right. After chemotherapy, I was still doing my school runs with the buckets in my legs and driving the car because I felt so sick.
Oh, wow.
So I was still...
It's amazing what we can do.
I was still trying really, really hard to show them that I'm going to be all right. I was still scrubbing my floors and my knees.
Oh, my goodness.
And after chemotherapy and not feeling great because I wanted to show them that I'm fighting for them. Many, many nights we slept together. We didn't get any support as a family from the beginning to help us and to kind of explain to the children what will happen, what is happening. So we have to, as a parent, we have to deal with everything ourselves. My other half, yeah.
How does he deal with it? With obviously the idea of potentially losing you, but having to then raise, you know, these children and be mum and dad.
He was working for many years for NHS in Priscilla Bacon Lodge.
Wow, so he knows all about.
He knows all about. And
just for people listening, that is a hospice.
He kind of stepped back a bit. He was not really involved while I was on the treatment,
as in for your care.
He was very, very scared. He was very scared of losing me, and we've been struggling as a couple. I remember because we didn't have any support. It was just me, us, and just us.
There really is no support. We've been referred.
But you have to push for it.
You have to fight. You have to go looking yourself for it. And
we've been referred, although I've never heard anything from anyone, even though I was asking many times for some support. I've got support for myself, but I haven't got anything.
And it's the children, you know, they need that support because it's getting their head around something, you know, that's going to impact their school lives, their home life. Everything is going to be impacted, and it might not even show now, but it might be something that in 2-3 years time, it does, a bit like a trauma, you know, it might not come out until they get to doing their GCSEs or other bits and pieces. And then they might really struggle because they've got all this sort of baggage that they haven't been able to deal with themselves.
Yeah.
And it's we forget that also these illnesses and these problems, they really actually don't affect us because we're the ones going through it and we get all the help, but it's the people around us that are the ones picking up the pieces, watching their loved one go through something that is again changing. Like they would have seen probably how you've changed from how you were as a mother beforehand. You've probably change the way you maybe do things or things
emotionally, not just physically, emotionally, everything, and your confidence and the whole package. It changes the entire family's life.
I definitely appreciate life more than before. I am grateful, like, I'm here and I'm taking, like, each day at a time, just slowly, without all of the fuss of being at work and just being busy, not having time for the family. And now there is definitely more time for the family, for the kids, especially doing more things with them, making lots of memories, just doing more with the family.
Do you feel now that you have a bit of hope? Because I know that was probably completely stripped from you at the beginning. As you say, you were planning your own funeral and you were in your space, you were told that that was it. There wasn't much that was going to be done. But now, a year on, our treatment still doing its thing. Can you look ahead a bit, or are you still very tentative?
No, I still can't do that. Yeah. But definitely I was given hope from you guys, from our group. That's changed completely my thinking for the future, just because I was told by so many ladies from the group that that's not the end of the life, that there is still hope, and you know, yeah, it depends what you have here. Yeah. The positive mindset was the key, I remember. I'm still struggling and I still haven't learned to plan ahead.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Not yet. Slowly, but I'm not ready yet for that. So I'm getting lots of support from my local hospice at the moment. So I'm slowly, it's like small steps.
And sometimes it is just focusing on now, you know, not worrying about what happened, not worrying about what's going to happen, but it's about, I'm here, I'm up, I'm about, what can I do?
I'm alive. I'm alive.
What do to make your life better now rather than thinking too far ahead? And it's that living, you're just constantly living on a knife edge, you're constantly living without knowing what is going to happen. And yeah, I think it's just really important that you do take those baby steps and don't force, because it's very easy to sometimes see someone else doing something and like, I should be doing that. Mm-hmm. But everybody's journey is so different. And just because it, you know, treatment works for somebody doesn't mean it's going to work for someone else and the other way around. And I think we're all, you know, we can all support and hold each other up in many ways, but we're all individuals as well. And I think that's also really key to remember. And there's no rush at the end of the day. You will do things as and when you feel you're ready and can. And it may be that you only ever live week by week or, you know, day by day. And that's also fine. And I mean, it is amazing that there are these treatments out there that do make now such an incredible difference, because you're HER2 positive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think with those drugs, they were not available, you know, 10, 15 years ago. We're very, very lucky that there are more options now for that type of cancer, but it, you know, is quite aggressive, and when it does go, that's the trouble, isn't it?
I am originally from Poland, and the drug I'm getting here, it's not funded in Poland.
Wow. So you wouldn't have the access to it?
Nope.
That's scary.
For one injection is £55,000 for one injection in Poland. Yeah. So I'm extremely grateful that I'm here and I'm getting that drug that is not available.
Postcode lottery, isn't it?
It is scary. It is very scary. Have you looked at something like the Willow Foundation to see, you know, there's charities.
Special days.
Yeah, there's charities that can give special days or holidays.
One of the ladies from WhatsApp group, she recommended last year the ACT Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Legoland last year while I was still on chemotherapy. And that was an amazing day because my kids, they love Legos. So we went for 2 nights and we had an amazing, amazing day. We made lots of memories. And
I was going to say, it's those sort of days that you really treasure, because it's sort of, you're making those memories, you're doing something really fun, but you also feel, I suppose, at that point, like you're being supported by somebody, because it's not you having to do it, it's someone else sort of sending you there. Yeah, there's amazing charities, and we'll have to touch on those a lot more sort of as we go through these episodes. But there are, you know, Something to Look Forward To is another one that's amazing. As you say, Willow Foundation. And there's a lot that actually do support. I can't remember, there is one that actually supports young children. I'll have to try and find the name.
Yeah, because
they're technically young carers, aren't they? So there's a lot of, there are things out there. I think by the time this podcast airs, there'll be something dedicated on the website to put people in the right direction for the right places to get that support.
You know, I'm thinking that at the moment, I'm thinking that there is many more families that struggle more than me, and maybe they deserve that more than me. You know, and I'm doing all right ish, and I think, you know, my kids have everything they need. They have me. I'm not really looking or researching of the charities, because I feel like some families need that more than me or my kids.
That's very humble of you.
Very
humble. But I mean, thank you so much for sharing your story today. I mean, the amount of people listening who will have learned something about, you can have breast cancer without having a lump. You know, nipple discharge is one of them. you were told you were terminal, and then look at you now, you've got inactive disease, and you know, that'll share hope with other people.
Your hair's growing back.
Your hair's lovely. It's really cute. It's lovely little curls.
Different hair than I had before. Completely different. But
it shows that things, you know, do change and the transitions do happen, and you will, you know,
got my eyelashes back.
Got your eyelashes back. What would you say to someone else going through the same thing as you, or even to yourself a few years ago, knowing what you know now and what you've gone through?
Find the community.
Yeah.
For me, that was the main thing. Find the community of people who will support you, who will understand, and who will stick with you. Like, the community was my number one, I would say. I had like many friends throughout my whole life, but I've lost 80% of those friends when I got diagnosed.
From the fact that they just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. But I've met you guys.
You are
my like
friends.
Lifelong friends, and more than friends. So the community, find the community. And I think the most important is not to compare your journey to others, because even though we have the same cancer, the same treatment, we are all different. I was comparing myself to others, even, you know, you have the same meds, the same breast cancer. It didn't work like that.
Yeah.
So, put your community is the key for me now. It's the community people.
That's lovely.
And we're ending with one question that we're asking everybody, and it is, what, every morning when you wake up, what brings you joy? What's the first thing that gets you up and out of bed in the morning?
So, that is a bit silly thing, but each time, every morning when I'm waking up, I'm doing Kiss to the Sky.
Oh, that's nice.
And I'm saying thank you for another day. I'm doing this.
Oh, that's so sad. Yeah. I know.
No, seriously. I'm doing Kiss to the Sky.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And saying thank you for another day.
Well,
it's so nice. Small.
No, what? It's lovely. And we're thanking for another day that you're here. And thank you. I mean, honestly, it's been amazing. It's been incredible. And just being so honest and raw and sharing your...
No, I'm not
sure. Honestly, tissues.
I know you were nervous about sharing your story.
Yeah, I was very nervous, very stressed.
But you've spoken so perfectly and beautifully.
I was worried about my language as well, you know, especially English, that I might not...
Of course, it's not your first...
...properly or pronounce something properly, but
You've done, honestly, you've said everything, you know, it's been perfect, and we're really grateful to have you on. And
I had like 100 notes in the kitchen. You've been interviewing others.
Well, thank you for being part of this, and this incredible, you know, group of 100 women all sharing their stories. It's just
so important. It's so valuable. So thank you.
Pleasure.
And is there anything that you wanted to share from one of your notes that we've not asked you and you've not had chance to? Is there anything else you wanted to mention or chat about?
I think what I would say is fight for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Advocate for yourself. Be the voice of yourself. Just fight for yourself. Fight for your rights. So because I haven't done it for myself, I think.
You did though.
But I think maybe if I push more, I would not be where I am now. Maybe that I would have different outcome, maybe that would not spread, but I don't know.
Well, by you sharing your story today might mean that someone else out there hears this and does just that, and
you might make someone else think and go and get themselves checked out, and you don't know who else you love. You might never meet the person, but there'll be somebody listening or watching who's gone to get checked because of your story. So,
and it's not always lumps or bumps.
It's not always lumps or bumps. Quote of the day.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Mortal and Strong podcast. If you want more information about today's voice or how to get support on any of the issues we've discussed today, please head to our website, www.mortalandstrong.com. And remember, click subscribe, find us on all social media platforms, and to find out ways of how to support what we are doing or more information on the project, head to our website. Thank you for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.